Open your Bibles to the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians. And we are teaching on the gifts of the Spirit in this seminar. And Paul started off here in the very first verse by saying to the church at Corinth, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking but the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings." And incidentally, in the Greek, both gifts and healings every single time are in the plural. It's always gifts of healings. By the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now then, I want you to notice this. I said it last night. It'll be necessary to reiterate some things. And that is that he plainly stated here that all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We as a body, as a group, as a church, are to desire these things to be made manifest among us and to leave it up to the Spirit to use those whom he will. He will not use everybody in the same way. He plainly stated he divides to every man severally as he wills, not as I will. Somebody said, "Well, I want this." Well, you don't always get your wants. If you haven't learned that by now, you haven't been very far, have you? Amen. Isn't that right? The main thing is stay open to God and let his will be done, not your will, even in spiritual gifts. That's the reason we get into trouble a lot of times, people wanting to do something themselves. Are you listening to me? And so, another fact is that everybody is not going to have all of these manifestations for the simple reason why he said this, "For to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." See? So that's quite obvious that it isn't given to everyone then. So let's desire as believers and as the body of Christ, desire these manifestations, and let the Spirit then manifest himself in our midst as he wills. Praise God, because that's the way he's going to do it anyhow. Amen. And we're more thoroughly scriptural that way than we are with some of our wrong thinking that really holds us out of the best that God has for us. Now, these nine manifestations that he gives here are these nine ways that the Spirit manifests himself. Three of them reveal something, three of them do something, and three of them say something. Now, first of all, the three that reveal something are what we call the gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The three gifts that do something are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And the three that say something are the three gifts of utterance or inspiration or prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now notice this, that he said, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Sometimes people just call these the gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge, and that's not right. That's not what they are. Call them what the Bible calls them. Because when you call them something else, you get confused. Amen. Just like this, if you called a dog a cat, well, you'd confuse some people, even if you weren't confused. Isn't that right? And so this isn't wisdom that he's talking about in the general sense. It isn't knowledge that he's talking about in the general sense. He's talking about just what he said, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Now, God has all knowledge. He knows everything. But he never reveals to anybody everything he knows. He just gives them a word of what he knows. See? He just gives them a word of it. A word, you see, is just a fragmentary part of knowledge. And so it is with wisdom. It is not the gift of wisdom. It is the word of wisdom. God has all wisdom, all knowledge, but he only reveals a part of it to man, that which he wants him to know. Now the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning facts in the mind of God, concerning people, places, or things. But now then, the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God of divine purpose in the mind and the will of God. It is a revelation, in other words, concerning the plan and the purpose and the mind of God. You can see that the revelation that the word of knowledge brings is always in the present, or facts about the past. But the revelation that the word of wisdom brings is always future, or looking to the future. Now, we divide these and deal with them singly, but however, they operate very often together. For instance, we pointed out last night that John on the Isle of Patmos, it was in vision form revealed to him, Jesus appeared to him in a vision and told him about the present tense condition of these seven churches that are mentioned there in Asia Minor. Now that was a manifestation of the word of knowledge, their present condition. It was revealed to him. But then the Lord went on to give him a word of wisdom. He went on to tell each one of them what to do. In other words, a revelation of his plan, his purpose for them. We also studied last night from the 9th chapter of Acts about a man by the name of Ananias in the city of Damascus. And it said here that there was a certain disciple in the city of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Ananias, he said, I'm here, Lord. Well, the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street called Straight. Now see, that's a present tense fact. This is a word of knowledge in operation. Go into such and such a street called Straight, or into the street called Straight, and inquire in such and such a house for one called Saul of Tarsus. In other words, he told him the very street to go to, the very house to go to, the very person's house, and the person in the house, didn't he? That was present tense fact. He said, behold, he, Saul, prayeth. It was revealed to him that Saul was praying. It was revealed to him that Saul had a vision. And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Praise the Lord. Well, now that was a revelation given by through a vision to Ananias concerning facts, concerning people, Saul, the house where he was, places, the very house, and so on. But then we notice here, this is the 9th chapter of Acts. You want to turn it and read with me. I think sometimes I make a mistake just quoting these things because folks won't turn and read them and they let it get away from them. So let's just turn back there to the 9th chapter of Acts now, because I want you to see something specifically here, a further revelation that was given, revealing something, you see. These gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, reveal something. All right, now, Ananias said to Jesus in this vision, this we're down here now to the 13th verse, then Ananias answered. See, the Lord had been talking to Ananias in this vision up till now and giving him revelation of the word of knowledge concerning facts and so on, or facts concerning people, places, and so on. Now, in the 13th verse, it says, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, that was Saul, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Now then, the Lord speaking to him again in this vision and giving him a further revelation. And this other revelation is a word of wisdom. Now notice, because it reveals God's plan and God's purpose and God's mind. Now you can see, of course, that this would be the best gift of all, wouldn't it? Because it would be better than anything else to know God's purpose, God's will, and to have God's mind. Isn't that right? That'd be the best of anything. All right, notice. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Well, that's a revelation, isn't it? Amen. And it's a revelation concerning the purpose of God. He's a chosen vessel unto me. Now notice, to bear my name before the Gentiles. In other words, that's what he's going to do. See, this is looking to the future. See, the difference between the two gifts, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, is that the revelation that the word of knowledge brings is always present tense, or something that's happened in the past, where the word of wisdom is always future, or looking to the future. All right. He is a chosen vessel to me. He's going to use him in the future, you see, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. That's why I've chosen him. I've chosen him to do this. This is my purpose for him, you see. Well, that's a revelation, isn't it? It reveals God's purpose. It is a word of wisdom. And he went on to say, give a little further revelation. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, that reveals before we ever read about it that he's going to suffer. Well, now that doesn't mean he's going to be sick, because if he's ever sick, there's no record of it. But I'll tell you, he suffered a lot of persecution, and he suffered a lot physically because he was stoned, left for dead, he was beaten. One time he's even thrown to the lions. And everywhere he went, the devil stirred up people against him. And he did suffer many things for God. Well, see, this was a revelation that was given to Ananias concerning Paul. And it is, as I said, a manifestation of this supernatural revelation called the word of wisdom. Now then, as I said to you, I'll say it again, that the word of wisdom is the revelation of the purpose of God concerning people, things, or events in the future, or looking to the future. By the word of knowledge, we know about present tense things. But by the word of wisdom, we know about future things. Well, now you can see, of course, those things in operation all through the Old Testament. You see, the prophet particularly has these revelation gifts in operation as well as prophecy in his life, he has to have that to be able to stand in the office of the prophet. Because, you see, he makes predictions concerning the future. And the simple gift of prophecy has no prediction in it. And the prediction that he gives, even though it comes by prophecy, is actually a word of wisdom. See? In other words, you came here to church tonight. Well, I suppose, how many of you came in an automobile? Let's see your hand. How many of you? Well, what about the rest of you? How many of you walked? Well, how about the rest? Are you the rest of you folks? Are you here? Let's see your hand if you're here. Some of them didn't lift their hand on anything. I just wonder how they got here. Did you crawl? You see? Well, now, the automobile brought you here, but you're not the automobile, are you? So sometimes, you see, prophecy is conveyed not only by vision, but sometimes our word of wisdom is conveyed sometimes by prophecy, and yet really it isn't prophecy. It's really a word of wisdom is what it is. We call it prophecy, but it isn't. You see, the simple gift of prophecy is, as the 14th chapter 1 Corinthians said, Paul said, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so you see, in the simple gift of prophecy, there's no prediction there whatsoever. Naturally, when these things are operating in the ministry, particularly in one who would be the prophet's ministry, though it may come by prophecy, yet it is a word of wisdom in manifestation. And so naturally, if people are just using the simple gift of prophecy and do not have these manifestations in their lives, well, all their prophecy would be just the edification, exhortation, and comfort. So all through the Old Testament, you see a manifestation of the word of wisdom. After all, God gave to Moses, and this word of wisdom, you know, can be given by an audible voice. It can be given by a vision, as in the case here, these cases. Or it could be given by through a dream. Joseph, for instance, received the word of wisdom through a dream. You see, in a dream, it was revealed to him concerning the future of his own life and God's planned purpose in his life, and it all came to pass. It's also true that this word of wisdom could come by through the vocal gifts of prophecy, or sometimes even tongues with interpretation. Moses, for instance, received the revelation of the law as God gave it to him in an audible voice. Well, of course, that had to concern Israel and their God's mind and God's purpose for Israel, you see. So that had to be, he received a word of wisdom, didn't he? It's also true, as I said, concerning the prophets of the Old Covenant, that they prophesied many things concerning Israel's future, and concerning some things that will yet be fulfilled. But yet, you see, though they prophesied it, yet it was a word of wisdom that they received. And then over in the New Testament, of course, you see the same thing in operation. Many times we point out one or two of them here. But we also see the prophet's ministry in manifestation in the New Testament as well. You remember there's a man by the name of Agabus. And in the 21st chapter of Acts, you can read about this fact that Agabus had prophesied before about a drought that was coming. And they just believed, because he was a man of integrity and a proven ministry. You see, you couldn't believe everything that anybody said. I've run into people that have prophesied everything in the country and everything in the world, you see. But you just don't pay attention to everything anybody says. You have to have some discernment about the thing, and you've got to judge things in line with God's Word. And you've got to realize this, that people that have some spiritual characteristics that are biblical, you could accept, but those that are just well, out of line with other Christians and out of fellowship with others and sort of pull-offs and one thing or another, I wouldn't pay much attention to whatever they said, because a lot of their prophesying are just out of the top of their head, see? And so Agabus, though, he prophesied about this drought, and you know where he was prophesying, they just began to make up right then for the saints over in another place. because the drought was coming over there, not where he was. And then in this 21st chapter of Acts, Paul and his company, Luke is the writer of the Acts, they were at Philip's house. They had come here, Paul and his company, it said. Well, now, this whole company of believers, I don't know just how many of them. I know Luke was with them because Luke is the writer, and he keeps saying, we did this and we did that. And he says here just in a minute, we of Paul's company besought Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. It says, and as we tarried there, this is the 10th verse now where we're going to read. As we tarried there many days, I don't know how many days it is, but they were there a number of days. There came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. Now then, I want you to notice that he revealed something. You see, when any revelation comes, it is always either a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits, because those are the only three gifts of revelation that the Holy Ghost, that is of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's no other listed in the Bible. So naturally, anything that reveals anything would be under one of those, would come under one of those headings then. It'd either be a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or it would be discerning of spirits. We'll talk about the discerning of spirits tomorrow afternoon. And so now, this is not a word of knowledge because it's looking to the future. It's telling about something that is going to happen. You see, you cannot have knowledge of tomorrow. You only have knowledge of the present and of the past. But God in His divine wisdom knows all about the future, doesn't He? Praise God, isn't that right? Now then, notice this, that He said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. He took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And then Luke says, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And so Luke says then, after he said that, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. So you see, this was a revelation concerning the will of God that was to come. Therefore, it was a word of wisdom. Now, it did come to pass. There are some things, like for instance, some prophecies of the Old Testament. We see some instances there where the prophet received a word from God, and yet it did not come to pass. Well, now why didn't it? You see, sometimes some things are conditional. Now, for instance, there was the case of Hezekiah, the king. God said to Isaiah, you go tell him. In other words, you go give him the word of wisdom here concerning the future. Concerning the present, under the present conditions, the plan, the purpose of God. You go tell him, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die. Well, he delivered that message to him, didn't he? And then he left. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. He repented first of some wrongdoing. He cried and prayed to God and reminded him how that he had walked in times past and in his statutes and kept his commandments. He had missed it in a certain area, but he repented of that. And so then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah before he ever got out of the courtyard. He said, now you go back and give him another word. Here is another word of wisdom because it's concerning future. It's not a word of knowledge, it's a word of wisdom. He said, you go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. See? Well, now you can see that this first word, and I suppose even the second one, was conditional. Are you listening to me? Under the present conditions, this is what's going to happen. You see? I'm sure Hezekiah could have changed that latter part, that 15 years is going to be added unto him. Just as much as he could have changed the first part. But you see, again, God spoke to a prophet by the name of Jonah and gave him a word of wisdom concerning Nineveh, that they were going to be destroyed. Certainly, that was a word of wisdom that he received concerning the plan, the purpose of God, the mind of God. Now, Nineveh had in his own spirit seemed like he sort of didn't care. In fact, a little rather, they would be destroyed. So he didn't want to go. You know the story. We talk about being a Jonah sometimes. Well, that's where we get it from, this fellow who was, name was Jonah. And he just didn't want to go, did he? But you know how God dealt with him, and he went, and they repented, and the judgment didn't fall on them. It didn't come to them. Not to that generation. It came eventually. And so you'll see sometimes that through the Old Testament, particularly, that when they began to prophesy, they'd prophesy, and the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge would flow together. And they'd prophesy about things that would be in the far-off future, even under the new covenant. Didn't understand about that. And the coming Messiah. And as I said to you, sometimes in the New Testament, you also have this, as in the case of Agabus here, talking about Saul. But then you also remember this, that you have in the 8th chapter of Acts another story, and here was a word that was given to a man of God, and at this time he was still a deacon. God made an evangelist out of him, because that's this fella, Philip. But you know, in the 8th chapter of Acts, back over here in the 6th and 7th chapters, well, this fella, along with some other, was appointed to serve tables to begin with, and the great persecution came, and they were scattered abroad, and they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. And you know, this wasn't preachers going out preaching. This was the laity that scattered abroad. The apostles was the ministry, and they abode in Jerusalem. But everywhere they went, they told about Jesus. And here in this 8th chapter, and the 5th verse said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And it tells what all happened down there. And then after it tells about this, it says, and they, when they had testified, now this is Peter and John. It tells about Peter and John coming down, the apostles sending them down there when they heard they received the word of God, and laying hands on them might receive the Holy Ghost, and so on. And it says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now this is Peter and John he's talking about. Philip was there in Samaria and had the great revival where so many were saved and healed. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem. Now then, here in the 26th verse, it tells about what happened to Philip. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go forward to the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now you see, he gave him direction. He's revealing to him, this came by an angel. He's revealing to him God's plan and God's purpose concerning him and concerning someone else, as far as that's concerned. Arise, and so it says, he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem far to worship, was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now see, he gave him direction what to do, presently all right, as anyone might be led of the Spirit. But yet he told him to go, and he had to go by faith. To begin with, this angel brought to him a revelation, you see, that revealed to him something about God's purpose and plan. Not the whole of God's plan, not the whole of God's purpose, but just a word of it, just a fragment of it, you see. Just a part of it, just a portion of it. Amen. It's just like this, for instance, if you needed legal advice, counseling, help, direction, concerning something that's coming up, which would naturally be in the present or in the future, because it has to be, they may be facing you now, but you've got to deal with it. So you call your lawyer. And you tell him about this, Well, now, that lawyer don't just reveal to you and give you all the wisdom, all the legal wisdom he has, because you don't need all of it. Wouldn't help you a bit in the world. But he just imparts to you a word of the legal wisdom that fits your case. Isn't that right? He gives you a word of wisdom, in other words, legal wisdom that fits your case, and that's really all you need. And Philip didn't need to know about somebody else that was led somewhere else to do something else. He needed to know about what God's talking to him about. Amen. Isn't that right? And so the angel came down and gave him a word of wisdom here. Praise God. Concerning God's plan, purpose, and guidance for his own individual life. Praise the Lord. Now then, these things... As I said, the difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is this, that the revelation the word of knowledge brings is present tense, has to do sometimes with things in the past, but they're usually present tense things, and the word of wisdom is looking or pointing to the future. Now then, I know this, the Lord said to me one time, I heard this just as plain, the Spirit of God said it. It comes, as I said, in an audible voice. Now, I don't know whether anybody else, if they'd have been present, would have heard it or not. But I did. I looked behind me to see who said it, you know. I thought somebody else got in the car with me, you know. I recognized the Lord was speaking to me. I had just been talking with a minister, a pastor, and he had showed me through his new building that they were building. It hadn't been finished yet. See, 4,000 people. Beautiful thing. And as I got in my car and he got in his car, the Spirit of God said to me, "You go tell him he's going to die unless he judges himself on three things. Number one, on his diet. He was overweight, greatly overweight. Just eat anything he got his hands on. But see, he didn't tell me to go cast the devil out of him so he wouldn't eat anymore. He just said, tell him to judge himself on his diet. You're going to have to do something with your own body. I can't do it for you, and God's not going to do it for you. Don't shout me down now because I'm preaching real good. Are you listening to me? Unless he judges himself on his diet. In other words, you could readily see that you can dig your grave with your teeth. A lot of folks have. Secondly, he said, judge himself on money. You see, preachers or anybody can become so money-minded that money is first with them, not God, and they can miss it. Third, judge himself on love and walk in love towards his fellow ministers. Now then, you see, here is a revelation of both the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom operating together. Here it said plainly about a present tense condition that existed in his life. He's not judging himself. You know, the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians? The 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians said, for this cause... Now, I want to point out something to you. And I don't tell you how many preachers they had in the church at Corinth. They weren't all preachers and they weren't all lay members, I'm sure of that. But yet Paul, writing to the saints at Corinth in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, says, for this cause... Many are sick, talking about people in the church being sick. Many are sick and weak among you, weak physically, and many sleep. That is, they died prematurely. Now, for what cause? He went on to say the next verse, for if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. You know what he said? Very next verse, he said, for if we judge ourselves, he's inferring then that these people who are physically weak and physically sick and physically slept prematurely or dead, that they ought to be alive, they ought not to be sickly, they ought not to be weak, and that they would have been if they'd have judged themselves. I said he's inferring that. Now that judgment consists of more than just judging yourself if you've done wrong. But I won't go into that because that's not my message just now. Because you've got to judge yourself on other things. You see, just like this, the man, any of these things, really, that this preacher's doing wouldn't keep him out of heaven, but they did rob him of his blessings down here, you see. And so, you see, here was a revelation concerning present tense fact that he should judge himself and that he was not judging himself. Present tense fact. And the present tense facts of what it was. But then here also was the present tense facts. Or here also was that under the present condition, this is what's going to happen. If he don't judge himself, he's going to die. He didn't, and he died. He didn't, and he died. Well, now that revelation, actually there were two revelations involved, wrapped up in one. That revelation really was spoken to me by the Spirit of God. I heard it just as real as if some man had spoken to me. Now then, several years ago, I was holding a meeting and I gave this. Many of you read it. I mean, there's some portions of it they didn't understand, but I do. And you're not supposed to. I'll say that to you. There's a little clue down there at the end that'll cue you in so you'll understand it. But after I was here in Tulsa first, you know, way back in 1963. We came up here and spoke the full gospel business, and then we were going to teach 5 nights on the Holy Ghost in cooperation or with the full gospel businessmen. And we got started and couldn't quit. How many of you folks in on that meeting? Let's see your hand. Oh, a lot of you still here. And we ran for about 8 weeks, you know. Amen. Well, after then, that was, you see, the fall of 63. In January of 64, I was speaking at the Phoenix Convention, the Full Gospel Businessmen. And the last night of that convention, after it was all over, my wife and I, Brother Darrell Hahn, who is one of the directors and executive officers of the Full Gospel Businessmen, and his wife and his son Barry, we had gone to a little restaurant nearby to get a little refreshments, and suddenly I sensed the Spirit of God moving on me, and I said, this could either go to my room or your room. So we went back to the motel and went to my room, and we prayed a little bit together. And then the Spirit of the Lord, in the spirit of prophecy, moved upon me mighty, and I began to prophesy. And all of this came by prophecy. And in this prophecy, it went along for a while concerning something, concerning my own ministry. Well, it really concerned the people present first, and then concerning my own ministry, which really was a word of wisdom because it looked to the future, you see. And then as I continued to prophesy, it stated some things that would happen in 64. And I understood a portion at least what he's talking about, and they happened. Then it talked about some things that would happen in 65. And some of these things had to be, part of it was that they would be the escalation of the war there in Vietnam, and it was escalated and so on. And then it talked about at the end of 65 concerning the death of Brother Branham. And it stated, it didn't call his name, but anybody would know who it was. I mean, because he plainly stated, said, he who stands at the forefront of the prophet and healing ministry. Well, it couldn't be anybody else but him. Wasn't anybody else that had a prophet's ministry. In fact, I said to them, that's who it is. I told my wife, I said, it's Brother Branham. Well, you see, this was really almost 2 years before he died. Well, now, again, somebody said, well, why didn't you go tell him? Well, in the first place, the Lord did not tell me to tell him. He told me to tell this other ministry because he knew he wouldn't listen anyhow. In the second place, there were those, I could call the name, you'd know immediately, who were told to and went to tell him, and he wouldn't listen. But he said at the end of 65 that he would die. That the enemy would destroy life. His soul would be saved, but his life would be lost. And there was a reason why. There was a spiritual reason why. The reason was many were following him instead of following the Lord. The prophet said, he shall make a false step. And so it came to pass. Brother Hahn wrote that down. I didn't write it down. I had my eyes shut, just speaking it out. And then he went on to say about some other things that would come to pass in 66, 67, on up through 68. And then concerning some things in 68, actually through 72. Now then, these things on the end had a twofold meaning. Yet what I wanted to point out to you was that this is a manifestation of the word of wisdom. Now these things on the end, part of them had to do with our own nation, and a lot of it had to do with the election that we had, you see, in the fall of 68. And you remember I very earnestly in a seminar, in fact I had that year five seminars here, right here in this room instead of four in 68. And everywhere I went I had people to pray. And as far as our nation was concerned, we were like the Ninevites. We pushed some of this off into the future. Some darkness that was to overtake us. Are you hearing me now? Amen. We pushed it off. Don't misunderstand me. There's some more praying that we should do yet concerning our own nation. And I saw this as we prayed. I saw this in the Spirit. See, further revelation. You see, like I said, some things are conditional. Some things aren't. They're just going to come. That's it. I saw this by our own praying that we could change things. Are you listening to me now? So don't you stop in this area. You stand your ground there. Now then, some of this other had to do with me also personally. Many times in the Old Testament, some things have a double application. Did you know that? You know, many times you'll see a prophet prophesying the Old Testament, and he's prophesying about one of the nations that existed right then. Sometimes about Israel's present history, or sometimes some of the enemies of Israel, maybe Babylon or something, you know. And then he'll just go right off prophesying about the coming Messiah. Hadn't got anything to do with the present moment, you see. And so, some of this also had to do with me personally. No one man, this prophet said in the end, will know the whole story, or one prophet will know the whole story, because we only know in part and prophesy in part. But when it comes to pass, he said, you will know. See? Well, you see, in the fall of 1968 then, was the beginning of some things in my own individual life. My sister, for instance, died, and that's the first death we'd ever had in our immediate family. When I say immediate family, I won't out yonder something, but a number of things were involved here, and I knew what he meant, what the darkness involved, you see, and there were some other things that'll come to pass in this area of some more that I know in the family that'll be dead by 72. At least two and maybe three more of them. And so you see, these things had to do with that prophecy way back there in 64. Because he said, when it comes to pass, you will know. See, he's talking about me personally. He didn't say the folks who were going to read this will know. But said, you will know. And when it did come to pass, I did know. I'll tell you that. And so what I'm saying to you is this, though. That this is a manifestation of this gift that he's talking about here, the word of wisdom. Because it is looking to the future, or pointing to the future. Now in conclusion, because the time's about gone on us, let's see then how this all fits in with what the word of God says. We see this, that this word of wisdom is confused a lot of time with a lot of people with just simple wiseness, so to speak, in the affairs of life. And yet that's not a spiritual gift. You know, God said to Joshua way back in the beginning of his ministry, he said to meditate in the word of God or in the law, let it not depart out of thy mouth. For then, he said, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And another translation said, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou'll be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. And there is a wisdom that's gained, a wiseness that's gained through knowledge of God's word, but that's not this supernatural manifestation, you see. And then again, this is confused sometimes. People think that this is the word of wisdom. In other words, just simply having wiseness, prudence, or discretion in the affairs of life. Sometimes they think that Solomon's wisdom was a manifestation of this word of wisdom, but it isn't. You see, that was given to him by God, and after all, James says, you remember, if any, in the first chapter of James, you know, if any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father who giveth to all men liberty and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, now here he's saying that this wisdom he's talking about that you could have, which I just simply call general wisdom, that deal in the affairs of life, is available to everybody but just asking for it. God will impart to you wisdom, but yet that is not this supernatural manifestation of the word of wisdom. Can you see what I'm talking about? For this simple reason, that James is writing to the church and he's saying that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And yet Paul said here, to one is given the word of wisdom, to one. Not to all of you, but to one. To another, the word of knowledge, inferring that everybody's not going to have these manifestations. And he winds up by saying that it is only as the Spirit wills. Isn't that right? So then the wisdom that James is talking about is wisdom to deal in the affairs of life wisely. Wisdom to know how to conduct yourself as a child of God and Christian. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, it said. Didn't he? But then, you see, as God in a supernatural way may see fit to do so, to reveal his own mind and purpose and plan to man, he does that by this supernatural manifestation of the word of wisdom. Now then, you can see also that this was used, this supernatural manifestation was used to warn and to guide people concerning future judgment or peril. For instance, in the days of Noah, he received a word of wisdom from God concerning future judgment and peril and built the ark to the saving of his household. And if he had got any of the rest of them to listen to him, they'd have been saved too. But they didn't listen to him, did they? And then the same thing was true, you know, concerning Lot and a number of folks in the Old Testament. And then again, this manifestation of the Spirit was given to reveal God's plan to those that he's going to use, you see, or to make use of in ministry. For instance, the dreams that Joseph had. God was speaking to him concerning the future of his own life. And you know the story of Joseph. And you know how that his brothers, though they did try to dispose of him, that God brought him out. And though he's put in jail, and I don't know whether you know it or not, but he stayed in jail for a number of years. But yet, you know, he interpreted the dream finally of the king, you know, and he was finally made prime minister of the land of Egypt. And the time came when all of his brothers did bow down before him, didn't they? Yet he wasn't arrogant about it. He just told them to get up. I'm your brother Joseph. God sent me down here. He didn't blame them at all. He said, God just sent me down here to preserve the posterity of his people. I thought about so many times I read this story of Joseph. I think about the magnanimity of his soul. You know, a lot of folks, you know, he had that dream way back there when he was a boy, and he saw all of these shocks of wheat of his brothers bow down to his. They got mad about it because I think they knew what it signified too, that he's going to bow down to him. You know, and a lot of folks, when the time came that they did fall on their face before him down the land of Egypt, a lot of folks, you know, sort of hung their thumbs in their galluses and said, well, now what do you think about your baby brother now? Remember, I told you so. Huh? But he was humble about it and had magnanimity of soul. He just said, brethren, you know, get up. I'm your brother Joseph. He said, didn't blame them at all, didn't scorn them, didn't criticize them. He said, God, just sent me before you to preserve the posterity of our people. And thank God he did. But you just think those years before, through that dream, Joseph received a word of wisdom, didn't he? He sure did. He sure did. He sure did. And then the word of wisdom is used or is given to assure of coming deliverance in the time of calamity. You remember Paul on board that ship? They were on the way to Rome. He was appealing his case to Caesar. The storm came. Well, you know, he had a word, if they'd listened to him, he had a word for them before they ever set sail. Because he said, I perceive something here. Where'd he get it? Well, he got it in his spirit. That's where he got it. He said, I perceive, this is future. It's not a word of knowledge, it's a word of wisdom. I perceive that this voyage is fraught with much danger. But the south wind blew softly, everything seemed fine, so they went ahead and set sail. I know this much, I'm sure of this, if they had wished they had listened to him. They'd have had all the merchandise, they'd have had the ship, they'd have been safe if they'd listened. But they didn't listen. Didn't listen. Amen. I remember one time I was pastor of a church. Oh, brother, there were problems that existed in that church. I'd never seen such problems before. I'll tell you the truth about it. I didn't have the answer. I didn't. I knew I didn't. I didn't claim to have it. But you know, God used a little old lady in that church sitting in the parsonage one day to give me a word of wisdom. So I don't know whether she ever knew. I never did tell her whether she ever knew she did or not. See? But she dropped a word. She said something while we were talking, and it just clicked in my spirit. It read, I knew I had it. That's it. That's it. And I did exactly what that little word said. And the minute I did it, every one of these problems in my church just leveled out, and everything was all right. I didn't have to deal with them. Nobody had to do anything about it. I tell you, it just leveled out until everything was so wonderful and so right and so good, until there was just a constant revival in our church. Just a constant revival. And it all came about because here was a little old woman just sitting there in the parsonage talking to me and my wife, and she just dropped a little word. She didn't do it perfect. I don't think she ever even knew she did it. But I'll tell you, it brought a word of wisdom to me concerning the future, concerning God's plan, concerning God's purpose in my church. And that thing just leveled out immediately. Just like you might be going down the road in a car, you know, and blow out, and it just whips you from side to side, and the thing looked like it's going to turn over and just suddenly just lines out and goes right on down, the tire's not even flat. Boy, that's the way we were. We just lined out, brother, took off, and everything's lovely. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God for it. I always believe that. I still believe that. That God, through that woman's mouth, unconscious even to her, gave me a word of wisdom, delivered to me a word of wisdom that day. Well, now then, if they'd listened to Paul, and I'm sure if I'd owned that ship, and I'd owned all that merchandise that was lost, because you know it involved a lot, for that day particular, it was well worth a lot. I would have wished that I'd have listened, because all the merchandise is gone. They threw everything overboard. Finally, all hope that they should be saved was gone, it said. All hope that they should be saved was gone. But in the midst of such calamity, Paul stood forth. Thank God he had heard from heaven. You know, we need to hear from heaven. Amen. We just go along sometimes and never get a word. We need to hear from heaven. Praise God, and a word of wisdom is a direct message from heaven. Praise God. And so Paul said, an angel, this word came to him by an angel. Yes, sir, I've had an angel to give me a word of wisdom. I'll tell you the real truth about it. When you really sum it all up, I'm here in Tulsa today and in this building, and I came in that meeting in the fall because of a message, a word, of fall 63, because of a word that an angel gave to me in Houston, Texas, in the month of August of 63. And that angel told me exactly what would happen through the fall of 63, and that by a certain time I'd have so many $1,000 and would be able to go forward then into the certain ministry. Well, that was a word of wisdom that angel brought to me. I saw him just as plain as I see you sitting there, except he was standing. And so, I came. I never said a word about money. Brother Lee Eller was president of Full Gospel Business Men at that time. He'll tell you, I never said a word about money. But God used him, praise the Lord, to help as well as others. And I had the very amount of money. I remember I looked at my checkbook when I left here. I had the balance that the Lord told me, that angel told me in 4 months I'd have it. Well, you see, as far as I'm able to count, from along about the end of August to the end of November is 4 months, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that 4 months? And I looked at my checkbook, and I had exactly on hand what he told me, the very figure he told me I'd have. Praise God. Everything was paid. I had that on hand. And that was the stepping stone. See? That's what he told me. He didn't say that he was going to do it, but that would be the stepping stone. That was the stepping stone. Well, this angel brought Paul a message. Paul said, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve has stood by me this night and said, fear not, Paul. I have given thee all them that sail with thee. There will be the loss of no man's life. Brother, that's a good message to receive, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now then, Paul said, the ship's going, and the ship will be lost. And if you'll all listen to what I'm telling you, you'll have to stay with the ship, because they're fixing to leave it. You stay with it. And if you'll stay with it, and brother, they all stayed with it. I would, wouldn't you? And there wasn't one of them lost. Here was a message that came. Here was a revelation. Isn't that a revelation? Didn't he reveal to him what was going to happen? Isn't that right? That was a revelation, wasn't it? Sure it was. It came by the Spirit of God, even though an angel, these are spiritual, an angel delivered it. Yet it is a revelation. All right. Thank God for his word. Do we need supernatural manifestations nowadays? Oh, how desperately we need them. Do we need to hear from heaven today? Yes, thank God we do. But thank God we're hearing. Praise the Lord. And God is moving.